All right, praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn this morning. We'll stand and open up to 110. Hymn 110. When you or I have an issue, a problem, a need, we must tell Jesus about it because he's the one that can answer and meet that need. Hymn number 110, we'll sing all three. Looks like the first three. Praise the Lord. Sing it to the Lord.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own.
Amen. Please be seated, church. And notice the words on that last stanza. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world, the victory to win. Amen. Over the world, the victory to win. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 this morning. 1 John chapter 2, keeping in mind that last stanza. Oh, I'm so thankful that you and I are able to have victory over the world because of Jesus. Amen? Only because of him. 1 John this morning, we'll come to chapter number 2. And Lord laid a particular message on my heart for this morning. I'm glad we're taping. And speaking of taping, I thank the Lord this morning that I got out to the car, wife and I, to start making pickups. And I went to get in the car and I Something told me, feel the pocket of my Bible, because I always have my voice recorder in the pocket of my Bible. And it wasn't there. Wouldn't have been taping at this time. And I went back in and found it had slipped out. It had fallen out on the couch. So I thank the Lord for just tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, don't forget that. We got to tape that. Praise the Lord. In 1 John chapter 2, folks, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. Just three verses, and then we'll pray and preach. Now, the theme of 1 John is the assurance of the believer. Amen? That's one thing that every child of God needs, is assurance of their salvation. Because with assurance, we can joyfully, confidently serve our great King. Look with me here in chapter 2 of 1 John. We'll begin reading in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to call your attention to verse 17, church. It says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to speak to you this morning a message I've entitled, Doing the Will of God. Doing the will of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the opportunity that every human being has to do the will of God. It begins with salvation, regeneration, being born of the Spirit of God, and then embarking upon a glorious, amazing journey, an incredible pathway that your Holy Spirit brings us through in serving the Lord, in doing the will of God. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding, spiritual discernment in knowing what the Scripture saith concerning doing the will of God. Well, thank you for it ahead of time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Sadly, I believe that most Christians never come to the realization that the will of God and the plan of God are not the same thing. They're spelt different. Amen? Listen, the will of God is exactly the same for every single Christian believer. But the plan of God is different and unique and special for every true believer. Amen? You've got the will of God, which is the same for all of us. I'm going to show you that today. But the plan of God is what the Holy Spirit must unveil to us as we live for His glory. Now, when a Christian asks me, Pastor, how can I find God's will for my life? I always tell them, just look in the Bible. Because the will of God does not change from one believer to another. It's the plan of God for your life that you must pray about and seek after. I want to give you a few things concerning doing the will of God this morning. First, it is the will of God that all people would become saved. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, concerning the will of God, it is the will of God that all people would become saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, look with me at verse 3. The apostle writes, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, we're living in them, scoffers, walking after their own lusts. That's the world we just read about. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, first of all, they're unknowing. That's the word ignorant of something. They don't believe the deluge of Genesis chapter 6. They say, there was no flood. Everything's been the same since the beginning of the world. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. God destroyed the world in Genesis chapter 6 by water. But look at verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I want you to notice in verse 9 that it is the will of God for all people to come to repentance. Now, church, let me ask you a question. Will all people come to repentance? Will all people become born again and saved and redeemed? No. Everybody's shaking their head. No, absolutely not. Is it the will of God that they do? Absolutely. It says it in verse 9. Calvinists are wrong. God wants all people to be saved, not just the Calvinists. Amen? I'm so glad that he's not prejudiced. I'm so glad that he wants all people to be saved, though they won't. That's because we have volition. We have free will. And we have either choice to either accept Jesus Christ or reject him. God will not force you against your will. The first thing I want you to see this morning concerning the will of God is that it is God's will for all people to be saved. It is his will that all should come to repentance, though they won't. Do you realize, beloved, this morning, that if all 7 billion occupants of planet Earth this morning repented and turned to Jesus Christ and asked for salvation, he'd save them all. What a world it would be, amen, with everybody saved. John chapter 6, hold your place in 1 John chapter 2 and go to John chapter 6. The Gospel of John, that is. I love this chapter. Wow, the bread of life. Amen? He is our daily bread. Oh, how we feast spiritually upon him in his word. Listen, John chapter 6, look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Ooh, this is bread that satisfies the soul, I'm telling you. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will, are you ready? This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. No mention of an elect, no mention of black people, or Chinese people, or American people. No, he says, all that seeth the Son, everyone which believeth on him may have everlasting life. This is the will of God. This is the will of God, that all people would come to his Son and have everlasting life. Listen, he wants all souls in all places, in all the world, to come to his Son for salvation, even though they won't. A certain old man named Mr. Klein was discouraged and defeated and just about to ready to end his life. Until he walked past an old Baptist church one Sunday evening while services were in progress. It was warm and the doors were opened. He stopped and listened as the congregation sang the great hymn, Saved by Grace Alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. His hearing wasn't very good. And when the congregation sang the words, Jesus died for all mankind, he thought they were singing, Jesus died for old mankind. Why, that's me, he said. They're singing about me. Just then he ran into the church, went straight to the altar, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior from sin. Amen. Old man Klein got saved. Why? Simply because it is God's will that all old man Klein would get saved. It's his will that all mankind would get saved. Secondly, this morning, concerning the will of God. It is the will of God that all believers would learn to think the way God thinks. Amen? Look with me in Romans chapter 12. It is the will of God, as I said at the outset, the will of God is the same for every one of us. It is the will of God that every believer would learn to think the way God thinks. That's having the mind of Christ. Look with me in Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to saved people, regenerate, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, There's that mention of the world again. It's Antichrist. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what?
Will
of God. Will of God. Listen, as we renew our minds in the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, we learn what is the will of God. Because it's contained in the pages of Holy Writ. Amen? The more we study this book, the more we understand God's will for our lives. And the more we understand God's will for our lives, the more we'll understand God's plan for our lives. It goes hand in hand, folks. The will of God and the plan of God goes hand in hand. And here he says we're to be transformed by the renewing. Why in the world would a man have to have his mind renewed? Transformed. Why is that? Oh, it's easy because we once thought like the world and lived like the world. And now we have a whole new way of thinking and acting and speaking. Amen? It's the way of the Lord, the straight and narrow way. Beloved, if you or I desire to be doing the will of God, we're going to have to first put on the mind of Christ, working in and through us by His Spirit. Now, how can we be renewed in our thought processes as a Christian? How can we be renewed? It's simple. God has made it so easy, I marvel. It's this book right here. That's all it is. It's not rocket science. This book will renew your thought processes. It'll cause you to think like God thinks. It'll cause you to love what God loves and hate what He hates. Ephesians 4:23, don't turn there, says, "Be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind." Colossians 1:10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing and increasing in the knowledge of God." You'll be pleasing God when you're renewed in the knowledge of God, because you'll be living the way He wants you to live. Martin Luther once said, "I study my Bible like I gather apples. First I shake the whole tree, that the ripest might fall. Then I shake each limb. And when I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search and study the Bible as a whole, like the shaking of the whole tree. Then I shake every limb, studying book after book. Then I shake every branch, chapter by chapter. Then I shake out every twig, verse by verse. Finally, I turn over every leaf, word by word. And the fruit never dries out." The fruit never dries out. Why? It's always fresh and juicy and delicious. Amen? The fruit of this book will always refresh your soul. It will never ever let you down, the Word of God. It's alive. Glory to God. It's God's will that every believer would learn to think the way God thinks. But something else this morning concerning the will of God. It is the will of God that all believers would separate themselves from the world. Remember what he said there in verse 17? Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Look with me in Galatians. Why did he say that? Galatians chapter 1. We're studying the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights, as you know. But look what he says here concerning the believer and the world. In Galatians 1, verse 3, separation is becoming a doctrine of the past in the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace. We need that, both of them. From God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the what? Will of God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says in verse 4, it is the will of God, your Father, that you would be delivered from this present evil world. That's why you're in church this morning. You want to be separated. You want to be sanctified, and you want to be delivered from the evils of this world. Now, brethren, we have a major epidemic in our churches today. It's called worldliness. Worldliness. The world has infected the church of Jesus Christ. We want to dress like the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to act like the world. We want to sound, smell, look like, and live like the world does. It's like a magnetic pull on the hearts of God's people. We sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Why? This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. You see? That should be the same heart attitude for every believer. This world has no pull. This world has no control over me because Jesus Christ is in control. According to the Crusade Contact, listen, 5% of reported church members do not exist. 10% cannot be found. 20% never pray. This is actual statistics. 25% of church members never read the Bible. 30% never attend church. 40% never give to any cause. 50% never go to Sunday school. 60% never go to church on Sunday night. 70% never give to missions. 75% never engage in any church activity. 80% never go to Wednesday prayer meeting. 90% never have family devotions. 95% never win a single soul to Christ. But 100% claim heaven as their eternal home. Why? Because of worldliness. Because the world has infected the church. And oh, how we need to separate ourselves, amen, and consecrate our lives to Jesus Christ that they might count for his glory. Why? It's his will. It's the will of God for every child of God. Fourthly, this morning, something else concerning his will. It is the will of God that all believers would live a sanctified life. Oh, here is a really important one. I remember going through Bible college and in homiletics, that's preaching. Rod Phillips, you remember Pastor Rod Phillips? He was the assistant. He was the dean of the Bible college I attended. Great man of God, great preacher. And he said, "You guys that are preparing for ministry, whether it be and gals, because some gals preparing for the mission field, whether it be pastorate, evangelism, missionary, full time Christian teacher, whatever it might be, there's one thing that you need to preach on regularly: sanctification of the believer." Why? He said, because sanctification is becoming a lost doctrine of the church. The flesh always creeps up, always wants to take over, and the Spirit of God fights, and the Spirit of God compels and impels us that we would surrender ourselves completely to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at this verse. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, concerning the sanctification of the believer. Look with me in verse 1. This is so important. It's the will of God. In chapter 4, verse 1. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Not requests, commandments. "For this is the will of God." You want to know what it is? Verse 3, "even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you," I like that, all of us, "should know how to possess his vessel," that's your body, "in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." He says the reason the Gentiles in the world live a defiled, unclean life and sexually immoral life is because they don't know God. You see that? But you know him. Now look at it. Verse number 7. "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness," the connotation there is sexual immorality, "but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Paul is making a point here. That the reason we need, it's God's will for us to live in sanctification, is because of him who indwells us. The Holy Spirit is in you and in me. And therefore it is necessary for us to live a sanctified life. Amen? We must say no to the whims of the flesh. We must say no to the ways of the world. We must say no to the "if it feels good, do it" crowd. The theology of the world. Now, are you sure you want to know what the will of God is? Because it requires sanctification. Listen, sanctification, the Greek word is hagiasmos. It means purity, holiness, consecration. the act of setting oneself apart for holy use. This is what we do when we give our lives to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, don't turn there. New Testament, the Apostle Peter said, be holy, for I am holy. See, it's the same as he said, Moses said in the Old Testament. God has not changed his mind concerning holiness. It is God's will for you and me to be sanctified. Jesus, I didn't say sinless. We'll get that when we get our glorified bodies. But Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen? I'll tell you one thing that drives me crazy. Miriam and I went out to eat a couple weeks ago at a restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants, and we sat down to eat. Waitress comes, you know, to bring the silverware and the plates and the menus. And I pick up my spoon, and it's just dirty, dirty spoon, you know. And of course, I call her over, could you please get me another spoon? Why? It's dirty. I'm not going to eat with that. Why should the Lord use a dirty utensil? Amen? He wants it to be clean. He wants it to be sanctified. And it's no different because it's his will which involves sanctification. Something else quickly. It is the will of God that all believers would endure suffering for his name. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. It is the will of God that every believer would suffer for the name of Christ. I want to show you that. In 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 13. You know what the book of 1 Peter is all about? Suffering. Suffering of the believer. Look at it. Who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye what? Suffer. For righteousness' sake. Like, you know, the twins down there at Harvard University last Sunday afternoon. And the cops throw them off the campus for giving out gospel tracts. Okay, now that's not suffering, but it's persecution is what it is. If you suffer for righteousness, they're trying to do right. Tell people about Jesus. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so. That ye what? Wow. You know, a lot of God's people want to cut that verse right out of the Bible. Go ahead. You know, chop up the word of God all you want. It doesn't change the truth. Verse 16. 17, it's better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Yeah, he left us an example of suffering. Amen. Now, folks, I tell you, in America, we don't suffer for the name of Christ. We don't know what suffering is. These poor believers in third world countries are getting their head chopped off. They're getting burned at the stake. They're getting killed for the name of Jesus Christ. They're suffering. That's suffering. We don't know. You know, somebody might spit at you, slam the door in your face, or rip up the gospel tract. That's not suffering. That we don't know what suffering is. But, beloved, the simple truth is that suffering is a part of the Christian life. You won't hear this from Joel Osteen. You won't hear this from the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Send me your $1,000 seed money and you'll be blessed. Why don't you send me yours? You know, you'll be blessed. Because it's not true. There's no getting around it. If you ask Job if he suffered because he was a bad man, he'd say no. He suffered for righteousness' sake. Church, we need to be willing to endure a little bit of trials and difficulties and persecutions for the name of Jesus. Amen? Listen to this. Handel's Messiah was composed by Handel when he was suffering from a paralyzed right arm. You know, he died penniless. He only wrote the greatest song in all of the world's history. Amen? Messiah. Helen Keller.
said, I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found my work, myself, and my God. When missionary James Calvert went out to Cannibal Fiji Island with the message of the gospel, the captain of the ship dissuaded him, saying, you will risk your life and all those with you by going amongst these savages? Calvert replied, sir, we died before we got here.
Oh, I love it. We died before we came. They died to self. Amen.
Listen, Paul said, these are men that have hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. We don't know what suffering is. We've seen that it is the will of God for all people to be saved. It's the will of God for all believers to think like he thinks. It's the will of God for us to be separated from the world. It's the will of God for us to live a sanctified life. It's the will of God for us to endure suffering for his name. But I got one last will of God for you. It is the will of God that every believer would live a life of gratitude. A life of gratitude. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It is the will of God that every child of God would live a life full of thankfulness and gratefulness to the great King. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And look with me at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul says, by the Holy Ghost, it is the will of God for you to give him thanks in everything in your life. Wait a minute, Lord. Last week, the brakes went out on my car. It cost me $900-something for that plus the front end repair work. But in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For this is the will of God. Folks, we've got to get to the point where the will of God means more to me than my own personal desires and needs. Amen? The will of God must become priority in your life. The will of God must take place over everything else, over every relationship, over every employment, over every association. The will of God must become my all in all. Then we'll begin to accomplish some things for God. We have no problem thanking him for our blessings. Oh Lord, thank you so much for this juicy T-bone steak I'm about to devour. Thank you for these mashed potatoes and brown gravy, corn on the cob and hot buttered rolls. But how quickly do we forget about thanking him when he allows difficulties, trials, illnesses, and the like into our lives? I remember when our oldest daughter, Zena, lost her baby after 3 months. I said baby, not fetus. It was a child. Amen? And of her pregnancy and how sorrowful they were. Folks, you know what? Her and her husband, John, had to give thanks. The Lord took that baby to heaven. We know that. Sometimes it's hard to thank him. But the Bible says it is the will of God. The late great hymn writer, Francis Ridley Havergal, used to say, once the will of God was a sigh to me, but now it has become my song. When you get to that point, you are in the way of blessing. She goes on, did you ever know a potter to thank a vessel of his own making for its beauty and usefulness? Surely the praise is due not to the clay, but to the potter. So too praise is due to God for all that he has done for us. My message this morning, beloved, is doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that every single one of us can, I said can, do the will of God. It is the same for every believer. It is clearly outlined in the scriptures of truth. The will of God is the same, and every single child of God can accomplish the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit within. Lord, I thank you for these believers in your house this morning. I see it on their faces. They have one desire, to do the will of God. Lord, I thank you that it is an absolute necessity, priority. It is absolutely important to us to accomplish the will of God because we only have this life to do it. Shirley MacLaine is wrong. There is no reincarnation.
It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Lord, someone said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, how we need to do the will of God. Lord, I thank you that there's still a believing people in the world that love Jesus Christ and desire to do his will. Lord, make it the sole priority of our lives. And Lord, when we make you number one, everything else in our lives will just flow. It will just flow, and it'll all make sense because you are the center of the hub around which everything in our lives will revolve. Oh, Lord, I thank you. One woman said, a woman should be so in love with Jesus Christ that a man has to search her heart to find him. Yeah, that'll work. Lord, I'm thankful this morning that for every one of us who know the name of Jesus Christ, Paul said that we need to depart from iniquity and do the will of God. Lord, there's no time left to waste. The days are short, the devil knows it, and we need to make each one count for the glory of God. We thank you, Lord, for the message this morning, and we pray you'd help each and every one of us to accomplish the will of God. And then the plan of God will naturally follow. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand this morning for a closing hymn. And let's open up to, oh yes, 123, an appropriate hymn for this morning's message. 123, Near to the Heart of God. Doing the will of God causes one to be near to the heart of God. And we'll sing all three. Of 123. Altar is open.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen. Souls are at the altar praying, doing business with the Lord. But look at this third stanza before we sing it. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Oh, folks, doing the will of God near to the heart of God is a place full of joy and peace that nothing can shake. Let's sing it on the third.
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Oh, praise the Lord that we can be near to the heart of God and do the will of God. Oh, what a blessing it is. Brother Kyle, if you could dismiss us in prayer. And don't go anywhere. We need to have a special, I need a moment of your time after Kyle dismisses us in prayer.
He's got an awful headache, Pastor.
Oh, he's got a headache. Yeah, no problem. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the service this morning. And Lord, thank you for these hungry hearts, for the word of God. They love you, Lord. They love your word. They love your spirit and the things of God. Father, I pray that you would bless each and every member of this church, Lord, with that place of full release, that place of joy and peace near to the heart of God as each of us seek the perfect will of God, resulting in the plan of God being accomplished in our lives. We thank you for it ahead of time in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. I'm going